This next presentation is Educational Leadership and Project Innovation, the Future of the American Printing House for the Blind.
We have Craig, right?
Yes.
And this gentleman has come to be the president of the American Printing House for the Blind from the state of Washington. He has extensive education experience. He has cut his teeth on working directly with kids, empowering blind kids, creating educational opportunities for blind kids, and also partnering with blind people. So his roots are deep, and I think that is going to serve the printing house very well. He brings a new perspective, and he's got a keen interest in partnering with the organized blind on his vision for the future at the printing house. Here's the president of the American Printing House for the Blind, Craig Medor.
I didn't hear that walk-up song. That's pretty, I like it. You know, you guys do it right. You have walk-up songs, and that is great. I've been in education for 34 years, and there's something wrong with all of you, and I'm going to tell you what it is. No one told you that when you come to a conference Saturday morning, you usually don't come to the conference. This is amazing. I got the word from Beth they needed to bump me from Thursday to Saturday, and I thought, oh my gosh, they're putting me into the death spot. Because when you hear at a conference that you've been assigned Saturday morning at a 5-day conference, that means that you're going to have your mom and maybe people who work for you in the audience, and everyone else is sleeping in that day. But you know how to, I mean, this, I'm being all serious here. I've never seen this before. This is amazing. I would love to bring in the thousands of teachers and educators I've spoken to over the years and have them come see this, saying, this is what Saturday morning should look like. Very nicely done. So let's get started. APH, this topic, educational leadership and product innovation, this gets my engine fired up, especially coming from the field of education, because these two concepts could easily stand on their own. You could stand up here and talk about educational leadership, and you could talk about product innovation, and you could spend 20 minutes or 30 minutes on each. So the idea of being able to take these two and fold them together is really a phenomenal thing. And unfortunately, in our field, sometimes that's a big miss. Sometimes we spend a lot of time talking about educational leadership, which is kind of the building that structure or that scaffolding for the should-haves or the things that should be, and the getting people fired up about what we should ascribe ourselves to be. And then you have product innovation, which is the last time it's like, well, I thought of this product because it was a good idea. And the beauty of what you've heard today from VFO and from Microsoft and from Expedia and all the other people who have spoke this week is you have seen that over and over again, it's all about this idea of blending those two ideas together. And so it's my pleasure to come up here and talk about APH and what we're doing. APH... we're in the educational and product business, to be sure. But beyond that, we're in this process of dreaming and creating, and then we do our best efforts to deliver on promise. And that promise or that essence of we can create something or we can provide something that will bring hope. And that's what I'm trying to drive at APH. Now, saying all that sounds very, once again, it kind of lends to that educational leadership scaffolding, which sounds kind of high and mighty, and people are like, I can get excited about that for a little bit, but at the end of the day, you're still a business. And it's like, well, we are a business. We're not a wish factory. We know that. We have our limitations. We know that. We have a specific amount of employees. We have a specific amount of work that our machines can do. We have a specific budget that gets handed to us each year, and And we have to live within those confines. And but at the end of that, all of these should translate, all that effort, resources should translate to products for students and adults that really improve their lives, that make their lives better. So at the end of it, we have a strong desire to do well. So how are we addressing that? Well, I want to spend a little bit of time, and the majority of my time, talking about the probably four initiatives that we have been working on for a number of years, and a couple of those are tied to partnerships, and some of those is probably some information you're wanting to hear about, because the first one involves a shared partnership with the NFB, and that's the Orbit Reader. And it's one of those things that's bittersweet. We're all excited. It's a proven concept. We've seen the device. We sold 30 units here the other day. And yet everyone's going, where's the remaining units? So we know that they are in production and they have had start and stop. It is coming. That's what we've been told. President Rick Abono and myself are both asking that question quite often, like how soon and when. We were told last month, and that last month becomes next month. So we know it'll get here, and we believe the desire and the design of that was Braille for everybody. That was at the heart of this movement with the Transforming Braille Group many years ago when everyone ponied up their resources to produce a low-cost, refreshable Braille product that would be under $500 so that no student, regardless of location, regardless of Wi-Fi connectivity, should go without Braille. And we still believe that because hard copy Braille is just not available in most parts of the world, as many of you well know. It's a luxury. And by creating a device at a really low price point, our hope is that everyone will have access to Braille, and which is a key to literacy, which we know is a key to success in life, and it's a key to employment. And the research bears that out. So Orbit 20, it is done. They continue to do refinements on it. It is coming. And so I won't tell you exactly when, because I don't know exactly when, but hopefully very soon. We're starting to deliver those first units right away. The next product I want to talk about, some of you hopefully had a chance to see it this week, is the graffiti. The graffiti is our tactile graphics display board. And people look at that. Now, what you have to understand about APH is we spend, much like the NFB, there are a lot of things that happen behind the scenes, and there are a lot of financial resources that go into the what ifs. And years ago, we came up with an idea saying, what if we could create a tablet, and in essence, the iPad for the blind and visually impaired, that provided people real-time feedback to tactile images. Think of how that would empower students in the classroom taking a math class to have that entire math book on that tablet, so that as the teacher, and when you are in a math classroom, it's usually teachers will pull up a diagram and begin talking about a graph, and usually they spend less than 3 minutes per graph before they move to the next graph. And having been a teacher of math for students who are blind and visually impaired, and seeing that both in the public school as well as a school for the blind, it is, by the time you get to the right page, or you get that right graphic to the student, the teacher has moved on to the next concept, so that a lot of times teachers have to pre-teach the lesson before the student actually goes into the lesson with the classroom teacher. So imagine if you could have that tablet that would allow those graphs, those images, to appear in real time. How that would empower that student, and how that would help that student exceed. So that was the what if when we began this process. The other thing we also had to resolve to the fact is we may put a couple million dollars into the development of this, and then some other company may come out with a better product. And we had to be okay with that, and we're still okay with that. This device has, we were able to show it at a world conference this past spring in Germany. I was happy to see that there were two other tactile type tablets out there, so other people in the world have had the same idea, which seems to tell me that these opportunities are coming. They're not that far off. And then I was also happy to see that ours does a lot more than those other tactile graphic tablets. And so we will be moving that into field testing this fall. And our goal then would be by fall of 2018 or late fall of 2018, we'll actually have that product available for sale. And we are looking again for, we're always looking for underwriters to that type of technology. And we're always looking for partners who might have a way or an idea to make that better, or might have some technology that will actually improve that final product. So that's an ongoing thing. So if you had a chance to see that this week, I'm sure that you were both stunned and amazed by it. It just does some amazing things. Everything from those real-time graphics, as well as allowing a person to draw in real time, save images, erase images, shade images. It does so many different things. It's really a phenomenal thing. The next thing we have finished, and we'll be releasing version one of it this year, is our Braille translation program. And I don't know just give out a woohoo if you are a professional transcriber out there in the. All right. So the two software programs that have been out there for 20 some years and are both very phenomenal programs have pretty much had that market, and we had a challenge that we gave ourselves about 4 years ago, and our big challenge was how do we get products into the hands of students in real time, be it Braille, be it large print, be it tactile graphics. And another offshoot, as well as the graffiti, was developing a software that actually sped up the process of Braille translation. So we began the work on what we call Braille Blaster. Braille Blaster is our translation program. And right now, we have every intent to give this away for free. It will not be, anyone will be able to download it and use it, whether you're a professional transcriber or whether you are just an at-home user that would like to put things into Braille. To me, it should be free. Braille should not cost. And so we're happy to provide this for free. And the beauty of this program, of it speeds up. So in our first test that we have done, and we've done several of these since then, we were noticing that we could take one book and translate that with Software X, and then we took that same book and translated it with our Braille Blaster, and we cut over two-thirds of the time down. Now, the beautiful thing about that is if you are a student in rural Minnesota, man, strong contingents, beautiful state. And as sometimes school teachers will do, and they will on the first day of school say, I know you ordered that Braille textbook from last year, but we chose a different textbook for this school year. You know that trend, and it happens. I was an itinerant teacher. Those were the reason why I have so many gray hairs, is it happens a lot. Now, the usual time it takes to get that book to a transcriber, get that done, and get it back to the student is usually anywhere from 60 to 90 days if they have nothing else on their plate. So, and a lot of that just has to do with putting in all the alt text and doing the graphics, and it's a challenge. So this will help cut those challenges by, in our hope, is a half to two-thirds, so students will have materials quicker. And our goal is we're going to keep moving that to where we can make that instantaneous in real time. So that'll be available out. The beta version is available right now, and the beta version is almost as good as going to be the final version. So that's for free, available for download on our website. But the version one, that should be out in October of this year, and that'll be able to download. And you can have that one for free as well. The last territory or the next frontier that we are working on right now, which we are very excited about, which is one of those holy grail for accessibility, and that's indoor navigation. The beautiful thing about the beauty and the curse of technology is it's moving very, very quickly, as we all know. Indoor navigation happens to be one of those areas where there was a great amount of work that was done in the early 2000s and the mid-2000s using beacon technology, and then a lot of that came to a halt in the latter part, 2007, 2008, 2009, because there was this promise from the big tech companies about global, indoor global positioning software being developed, or structure that was much like GPS works on the outside. People have been working on some sort of, and I'm not a techie, so forgive me if I use the wrong words here, but some sort of like, almost like a neural net on the inside of buildings that would allow a person using the software of their choice to navigate their way through a conference area such as this, or a mall, or a school, or an office building. And what we have found is, for various reasons, is that technology has not developed yet. So what we decided about 2 years ago at APH, or about the time after I got there, is we're going to go back to the technology that does exist. We have created what we're calling Indoor Explorer, which is, it's going to be packaged with our Nearby Explorer, which is our outdoor traveling app. Hey, we've got some outdoor Nearby Explorer people out there, which is great. But Indoor Explorer is a little different. There are several different GPS indoor mapping programs that are out there right now, and all of them have their strengths. A lot of them use single beacon positioning, so like you'd put one beacon over by the concierge desk, and then that beacon would give you that information about the concierge area, but nothing else. The difference with our indoor program is we're working off triangulation. We're using multiple beacons and that are communicating with each other, which then allows us to throw out multiple points of interest so that as you were walking down a hall, it would tell you the offices you're passing. It would give you the directionality. It would tell you where the elevator was, where the stairs were. And the idea is, once again, is providing a higher level of accessibility to create greater independence and allow people to move at their whim and at their will, as opposed to relying on someone else to come in and prep a site for them. So we are prototyping. We are currently working with this in several locations. This is in Louisville, Kentucky, which we're very excited about. We have the AER conference next week. We have that hotel mapped out with indoor navigation. We have a number of people using that. And we threw out a challenge a little bit ago to the mayor's office. I do this oftentimes. I shoot my mouth off and then I catch myself say, oh my gosh, I didn't think this one through. But I was in a meeting with the mayor and other officials in Louisville, and I said, we're going to make Louisville the most accessible city in 5 years, the most accessible city in the United States. And he took the bait. So he went to his meeting the next day and announced that to members of the city councils, that Louisville will be the most accessible city in 5 years. So the first thing I did is I got back to my team, we're all excited, and I said, okay, what does accessibility truly mean? We know the ADA definition of accessibility, but what does accessibility truly mean? And we have a lot of blind staff, and they had their ideas, and I said, we got to go bigger with this. I said, we have three big conferences coming up. One of them is NFB. We need to talk to all the membership of NFB and say, tell us what accessibility is. What are the hang-ups? What are the problems? Because we knew if we came to you and asked those questions, we would get it right the first time. So many of you have participated in our, and I apologize for the questions we're asking and bothering you during this process, but thank you so much for those who participated in that survey. That survey is also available online. What we are trying to do is gather the largest collection of information regarding accessibility from blind adults that will drive not only, hopefully, all our efforts in Louisville to make it the most accessible city, but that information will then become a template that other cities can use. And I told President Riccobono that information will be handed to NFB to help move your mission forward, and you can use that. in whatever way that works. So I see President up here giving me the hook, which is good. I'm a long talker at times. But I want to thank again NFB for the partnership, for your support and helping with our initiatives. And we are always here to support you and help you in whatever way possible. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Craig, can I tell this group we're working on KNFB Reader?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
Thank you, Craig. I should tell this audience that we are currently talking with Craig about how we can get the technology that we own in the form of the KNFB reader into the APH quota program so that all kids can have access to it. Craig already thought it was a good idea, but I thought I'd throw it out there. Thanks, Craig.